Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Dream this. It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Good morning. It's another edition of Cabali and Mac. Kaboom.
Yo, what's up?
Can I get a number two supersized with some barbecue sauce on the side, please, for the fries?
You know, this used to be my old, my wife's desk, so we just moved it down here. But everything's still in it, and I just opened the drawer, and I saw this in here.
The headset.
I'm curious of why she doesn't use it anymore, but this might
be it's working right now, which is better than I could say for some of your last
this might be
setups.
This might be a one-time event. Feels like I should be playing like
I don't know why it's so funny, but it's funny
because it does. It looks really bad. But, you know, it's better than this thing right now, so we'll see how it works.
Okay, good. At least, oh, you know what? Somebody sent me a link to something I'm going to have to share with you. It might actually help your ear situation.
I can imagine who did that.
Make sure you're following us on all the social medias. Of course, you may be watching us on X. Thanks for joining. Make sure you're following Cabali and Mac there. Also on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. And, of course, make sure you're subscribed on YouTube. We appreciate every single one of you. Once you subscribe, make sure you turn notifications on so you don't miss it when we go exclusively on YouTube, post-game shows, all that. He's, of course, veteran Steelers reporter Mark Cabali, correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, and he's got WWE thoughts as well. He's got theories on theories, or a theory on a theory. We'll get to that later in the show. Mike Tomlin spoke yesterday. We'll break down some of what he had to say. There were some funny questions asked. There's a former – you lost your camera now.
So yeah, this ain't going to work. You know why? I just realized something.
What? What's wrong?
I got these headphones on, and it's not even working.
You couldn't hear me?
I can hear you, but it's through the hold on.
We'll have another giveaway today, too, in the 412 days of Christmas. What's in the bag? I don't know. You'll find out a little bit later. What's in the bag? He's gone now. He's totally gone. We've been doing this now for 11 months, and Kaboom has still not figured out a reliable way of both hearing and speaking while appearing on video all at the same time. This is why he's one of my favorite human beings. Because something that's relatively simple, and I know you guys think, oh, he jokes all the time, like, Max, the brains of the operation, he's the one that figures it out. It's not all that hard to figure
this out. This is what happened. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
I have an adapter, and I had to change the adapter to put these things on, but this adapter is loose. That's why you remember before the camera would always go out like that before because the adapter was loose. I switched it out, but it wouldn't fit. But for me to use these, I had to switch it up. So that's how it went to no video. So we get rid of this all and we're back to normal.
I think we're working on something that we'll make official in the next couple of weeks here that I would hope alleviates some of your technical issues, at least some of the time.
What would that be?
I can't say anything more right now. That's all I'm going to say is about that right now. Welcome in. Thanks to our good friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show as well. I do have to thank First and Goal Sports real quick, since they're popped up on the screen for just a second. They had a big Pascal Dupuis signing the other night that was a wild success, I heard, and they provide a lot of the giveaways that we have for you as well. But thanks to Higgins Professional Painting. Looking to get your house painted inside, outside. Maybe you got a business. They do commercial. They do industrial. They do it all. And they'll do the drywall repair in your home, even a color consultation. Top to bottom, you want the house to look different. Wall coverings. Kaboom's thinking about some nice floral wallpaper there in his office. They'll do it for you. Get them in there for a free estimate by going to HigginsProfessional.com or give them a call at 412-344-0480. We appreciate their support of the program. A lot to get to today, including a local guy coming back to not just Pittsburgh, but a spot in the Mon Valley that really needs the help. And you say, well, I thought you guys just talked about the Stillers. Well, we do. We talk a lot about the Stillers, mostly the Stillers. But Kaboom noticed this. He tweeted it. I sat down and watched it as well. We're not going to play the whole thing for you, but I thought it was very telling. But anyway, we'll save that for later in the show. Let's talk about Tomlin Tuesday, Kaboom. Sounds like Derek Harmon is on track to be back. T.J. Watt, maybe not so much. Nick Herbig, who knows? So that's where we start with this one, getting ready for the Detroit Lions on Sunday afternoon. Big one, because if you can steal a win in Detroit, and last I saw, the Lions were favored by 7. If you can steal a win in Detroit, you really put the screws to the Ravens, depending on what happens to them this weekend, and possibly lock things up. I don't want to get too far out over our skis here, but maybe lock something up before you even have to play Baltimore in week 18.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they beat the Lions and Browns are pretty much in, they lose to the Lions and it gets a little iffy. But that would then require the Ravens to beat the Patriots and the Packers, which
right.
Who knows about that Patriots. I mean, Ravens have a really, really tough schedule heading down the stretch here. They, I mean, to make the playoffs, they're going to have to earn it, man. They have to beat.
They got to win out. It's that simple.
Beat the Patriots. They're going to have to beat the Steelers. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to beat the Packers on the road, Steelers on the road. But, I mean, we've seen crazier things happen. We've seen the Steelers implode before. I was a little bit unsure of the playoff scenarios, but if they lose this week, that means the Ravens only have to win 2 of their next 3, which would be including the Steelers, which I'm guessing it goes down the conference record at that time. It doesn't really matter. I mean, the Ravens have stunk for a month now. To be able to think that they can do that is going to be a long shot, but the Steelers are a little banged up. Know what? I have absolutely no idea and no update on the situation, as Mike Tomlin would say. Mm-hmm. So that means he's probably not playing. Harmon should be back. Herbig could be a difficult one because all of a sudden your neighbor has to go in there and play about 85% of the snaps.
Our neighbor, Kaboom. Our neighbor. He lives equidistant from both of us.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Jack Sawyer is who Mark's talking about, by the way, for the people
he's going to have to – He's going to have to play. I mean, that hamstring.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I popped up with Herbig early in the season when he missed 2 games. So I don't know how there's many varying degrees of hamstrings, right?
Right. I mean, to Jack Sawyer's credit, he looks ready to play. I mean, he does. Mike Tomlin said he's looked better and better throughout the season when he spoke yesterday. So look, it's part of what has worked for them this year has been having that rotation on the outside, on the edge. Highsmith had another really good game against Miami. I thought that's 2 in a row for him. He's looking good. If it has to be Sawyer on the other side and you don't have as much of a rotation because Herbig and Watt are both out, I'm not excited about the idea because you like to keep those guys fresh, but if it's just Highsmith and Sawyer playing almost 100% of the snaps on the edge on Sunday, I think I'm okay with that because Highsmith's been good against the run, and that's what we're going to talk a lot about this week, I would think, building up to the Lions game. Been good against the run as well as in the pass rush, and I would say the same of Sawyer. Maybe hasn't gotten home as much in the pass rush, but I think he's looked solid in the run.
Yeah, but you, from going to from 25 snaps to potentially 50 to 60 snaps,
right?
As the great coach would say, the attrition sets in. Then who fills in behind him? Is it the Liao? I don't even know who their next guy would be up right now behind even Liao, who would have to come off the practice squad. So you start to get thin in that regards, and we know what Gibbs can do. We know what Montgomery can do. At least Goff is somewhat of a stationary target. And the good thing about it is this game isn't absolutely necessary in terms of wins and losses. To me, though, it's very important to go up there and play well.
You can't shit the bed, go right back to square one, man.
You got to play well.
They can't afford to go in there and play like they did against Buffalo or the second half against Chicago.
They can lose, but at least play well.
I think Ben said it on his podcast yesterday, I think. He said this game will go a long way to helping people determine whether the Steelers are a legit team to be afraid of in the playoffs or not, whether they can go on a run.
I don't think media or fans. I think nobody thinks that they're a legit team.
Right.
I don't even know if they're a legit team, right? I don't know if I do.
That's the point. I think if they were to go up to Detroit and beat the Lions in Detroit, I think that goes a long way. We're going to wake up on Monday morning and all the talking head shows are going to be talking about, are the Steelers a legit Super Bowl contender? That'll be the first thing out of Mike Greenberg's mouth on Monday morning. If they go up to Detroit and beat the Lions, it'll be three wins in a row for the first time since September, early October. You would think if they do beat the Lions, it'll be because Rodgers looked good again. You're already seeing people ask the question, is this a team you're afraid to see in the playoffs? And I think a lot of us who are around it every single week and on a day-to-day basis, like you said, we're still really skeptical. Yeah. But you could go a long way toward erasing some of that, a good bit of that skepticism. You go into Detroit and beat the Lions, a team who's already behind the eight ball for an NFC playoff spot. I mean, I wouldn't say you'd crush their playoff hopes, but you'd really put them in a bad spot.
Well, you thought that would happen to a degree against the Dolphins, and I don't think it has. I think you got a lot of more questions of Dolphins suck rather than Steelers have an opportunity here moving forward. So I think that could be the same thing too. I mean, Detroit's defense is just absolutely decimated with injury right now, and they haven't played well. Okay, they're backs against the wall, but even if they do win out, I don't even know if they will make the playoffs. They need a lot to happen, and they're flawed too as well. I mean, they have a good offense, but can they stop them in defense? I'm just thinking that no matter what happens, you know, barring a 50-0 whitewash, that the narrative on Monday would be, well, but
I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, I think it's a big ask to go to Detroit and beat the Lions too. And so that's why I think it would, even with a beat up secondary and a ton of injuries across their defense, that's still a really good. I mean, that's a team we both picked to go to the Super Bowl preseason. Yeah. And they're still really talented. And this is the other part of it. As much as the Steelers, Rodgers is looking good. He's finding all the different weapons. They're folding in the veteran wide receivers, all the cast-offs, as he called them. As good as they're looking offensively, they've got to prove that they can stop the run against a team that's really good running the ball. I mean, that's the biggest question for me going into Sunday's game is, even if you're to lose to Detroit, if you limit Gibbs and Montgomery and you hold them under like 125 yards combined, not only do you have a good chance of winning the game, I think, but you'll go a long way towards proving to me that you can actually do that when it matters in January.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, this game is significant for multiple reasons. And one reason maybe you gleaned over a little bit is if they can somehow win this one and win next week, you could sit the old man week 18. you can not force TJ Watt back if he's, you know, if he's close to coming back. You right. can sit high Herbig, you can sit high Smith, you can hope Sayamalu gets healthy and ready to play. I don't even know hearth. You know, it's not how you make bread in the old hearth.
In the hearth. Yeah, not the hearth. The hearth is what somebody with a lisp would call the thing that carries a dead body.
Hearth. Who else?
Throw him in Pierre, the back of the hearth.
Pierre. What a dynamic that would be. All of a sudden from this team has no chance of making playoffs where they can rest people. So that's – I'm sure they're not thinking of that right now, but that's what's ahead of them if things break right. They could use some time off. So yeah, I wouldn't say – like I keep saying, I don't know if this is a must – win game, but it's a must.
It's not must win. It's must look good, even if. Must,
I mean, it would help if they win, but at this point, I keep saying it about Rodgers. I mean, if, as long as he plays like that, they're going to be in every game.
That's I hate to throw it all on his shoulders.
It's the bottom line, though. It is what it is. It's what it, if he plays like he plays. That you're saying, okay, now he's going to lead the offense. No, if he plays like he plays, then that helps the defense out tremendously. Finally, they had time of possession, right? Finally, they had plays. Finally, they got defense off the field. That's part of this as well, too. So,
I look, if Rodgers plays well, that makes it a whole lot easier to win. If Rodgers doesn't play as well as he has the last couple of weeks, they can still win games. It's just a much steeper uphill climb to get there. We've seen them win games when Rodgers hasn't necessarily lit the world on fire, when they forced a ton of turnovers. That's still another path to victory for them. You just don't want to rely on that. Yeah. Force the turnovers, but they were able to beat Miami. I know people are saying, oh, it's the Dolphins in the cold. But they were to beat Miami only forcing one turnover in that game. And so that, I think, is the turnovers are very important. You don't want that to be the only path to victory, though. Rodgers playing well opens up another path.
And I just think how he's leading is probably – we look at different things. Okay, he gets along with people, right? And he's pushing people in a certain direction. But he stands up in front of that media and says, yeah, look at these cast-offs of losers. I mean, I paraphrase. You think that was just came to his mind right there? Oh, he wants to use that heading down the stretch. I mean, look at all these guys. Nobody wanted you guys. Nobody wanted me. Nobody wanted this head coach. I mean, the guy is very smart like that, and I wouldn't be surprised that was – planned in his head if they won that game to come out here and, okay, let's have this so we can have this rallying cry as well.
Yeah, yeah, he knows exactly what he's doing. You surprised at all that the Ravens are favored against the Patriots? 3 points?
I mean, for some reason, Vegas, as they like to call it,
is
absolutely in love with the Ravens this year. They can do no wrong.
You know, until they missed the playoffs.
They were 1-5, and it's like, yeah, they got the best chance of winning. I'm like, what, 1-5? Yeah. No, I mean, this is nut cutting time for the Patriots. You just choked your life away against your freaking biggest rival, and you're only a game ahead of them right now.
Well, they bounced back already.
Yeah, let's see if you can bounce back, or let's see if you're one of those phonies.
They bounced back all right against Cincy. I know that's the Bengals' defense, but they shut down Burrow.
They bounced back, but they never blew a 20-point lead against Buffalo. Was that at home, too? Was that in New England?
Hold on. Who are you talking? Oh, you're talking about the Patriots. Yeah. That was in Foxborough. Yes.
That's a terrible loss. How you rebound from that? If Vrabel's all what he's made out to be, these Pats are going to be fired up.
You would think so. I did want to bring up, this was interesting to me. I know it doesn't matter at this stage of the year, but I still thought it was interesting that the Steelers are looking at offensive skill position players for futures contracts, I guess. And that included quarterbacks Hendon Hooker and Jack Plummer coming in for tryouts. Again, it doesn't impact this year's team at all. They released John Reese Plumlee, right? I don't know if he technically counted as a practice squad quarterback or not.
I don't think so. He switched his number to 82 because the other day I said, who the hell is 82? And I like Plumlee. I'm like, oh, I thought he was quarterback.
But I thought it was interesting. Like, and the reason I think it's interesting, again, not to get away from this week.
I can tell you why, but go ahead.
Why?
Well, this is the time of the year they're trying to set people up to sign future deals. So they're looking at these guys as a potential four for next year, maybe.
And
so they bring them in, look at them. Maybe if they need to, they'll add them to the practice squad week 18.
Right.
So they have dibs on them to sign them for a future deal come in January when their season's over.
Yeah. And so that's why I think it's interesting, not just because these are possible guys signed to futures deals. Obviously, that's why they're bringing them in now, like you said. But also, when you look at the fallout, I think, of what's happening to the quarterback class in the draft.
Like, two now, right?
I mean, if Ty Simpson doesn't play well for Alabama on Friday night, you would presume he doesn't come out either. He'll go back. And all of a sudden, you're talking about Mendoza and Moore from Oregon, and there's just not a lot else out there. Carson Beck. And so I wonder if this is also just kind of insulating themselves a little bit, because you don't know how the draft is going to shake out. It's still 4 months away. I get it. But Omar's got to think about this stuff. Insulating themselves just a little bit against a really weak quarterback class where they may not have an opportunity to draft one at all. And if Rodgers decides to hang it up after this year, you could be going into the offseason with Rudolph, who I presume would stick around, right? Howard, who isn't going anywhere. Yeah. So Rudolph, Howard, and Hendon Hooker,
Skylar Thompson's still on the roster. You see him walking around every once in a while. So he's there. So I don't know if he's on the IR. I think he's on the IR. I'm not quite
sure.
He's
on IR, yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, so.
But a lot of veterans go in IR and just disappear. So he's been there every single day. So he must think that there's a chance he's coming back.
Just no dry needling for him or anybody at this
point. Or going walking around Ireland by yourself.
Yeah, that too. It could be dangerous over in Dublin on a Saturday night. The reason I brought it up, because I know we're still talking about this week and the stretch run and possible playoffs, is I think it's worth keeping in the back of our heads that we just assumed they were going to draft a quarterback in April. Yeah. And I wouldn't assume that anymore because the class looks like they might not have one there worth drafting at any pick.
You imagine Mendoza's probably going one overall now, right? Or darn.
I would think Mendoza and Moore go in the top 10, I think. I don't, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. But then after that, it's eesh.
What is the Steelers' lowest pick they can have if they make the playoffs? 14 minus 32. There you go. So,
right. So you're staring at another pick in the mid to late teens at worst, probably.
Yeah. So
it's just,
you're not getting it. You're not going from 18 to 4.
No. So it's just something to keep in mind. I thought it was interesting that quarterbacks were amongst that mix of skill position players, other guys who I'd never heard of that they brought in for tryouts. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. We appreciate them. They've been on board since the very beginning. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They're the people to take care of. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK, HeckTeamHomes.com. Check out the listings online. If you're thinking about moving, now may be a time you get a great deal because it's the holidays and people aren't thinking about selling their houses, or maybe they're desperate to get out of them. I don't know, but they'll help you out. The whole team there, the Dan Heck team at HeckTeamHomes.com. We appreciate them supporting the program. This was really interesting to me because we've talked about Dylan Cook since he took over. What was it? Was it the fourth quarter? I guess it was late third quarter, fourth quarter.
Second half.
Yeah, against Baltimore. But Brian Baldinger loves to do tape breakdowns on social media.
Find somebody who loves the Steelers more than Baldy.
Love Baldy, but he loves him some Dylan Cook.
All 66 snaps of Dylan Cook making his first NFL start. And all I saw was stellar play. This is the cleanest Aaron Rodgers has been protected on the backside all year. And there's a lot of good rushers. Chubb trying to knock that hand down. All he does is reset. Ball's gone. This guy, like, maybe this is the answer. The only time I saw him on the ground was at the very end of the game when they threw the blade right here to get the ball outside to Warren to pick up 5 yards. Dylan Cook was awesome. spectacular. Maybe the future. It's one game.
Ooh, maybe the future. We don't know what Broderick Jones' future is, since we're talking about futures, but like this, Dylan Cook, and I think there's an important point Baldy made during that tape breakdown, and that was like 30 seconds of 2.5 minutes of him just gushing over Dylan Cook. But he did it on Monday night against some quality edge rushers. Like he mentioned Bradley Chubb, Chop Robinson. They've got guys who can get after the quarterback in Miami, and Rodgers was hardly touched at all. When he was, it was because he held onto the ball a little too long, I thought, trying to look for things to develop downfield.
Yeah, I mean, couldn't ask much more from Cook. I mean, we're talking, what, third stringer, a guy that was 5 years removed from being a high school quarterback, right? A guy that went to Montana or Northern Mountain, wherever the hell you went to.
Montana. He's a Grizzly.
Yeah, his locker's right next to Mason McCormick, so you got North Dakota and Montana sitting right there, Montana. So those teams, those two might not get along very well. But, yeah, I would have never guessed Dylan Cook would have performed like this. Just, I mean, he's been practice squad on and off the roster. Nothing stood out about him. His past, his bio, what you saw from him in training camp preseason. So let's just hope it's not a blip here of one-time thing right here of him playing well against the Dolphins. I'm sure that Detroit's going to have a little bit more for him.
I mean, Aiden Hutchinson amongst the bunch, I would think, would be a pretty important part of what they want to do. And like I said, I forget when I said it last week, I think, I would imagine Hutchinson is probably getting a little bit more, like he had a major injury last year. And sometimes those things take more than a full calendar year to really come all the way back from. He's beyond that now. He's what, 15 months removed from that broken leg. So I would think he's probably finally starting to really look 110% of himself, which he didn't really earlier in the year.
You know, what is interesting about the Dylan Cook situation to me is, boy, we sit here and we hammer, not we, you guys over here in the comments, how Pat Meyer's a terrible coach. He doesn't have anybody prepared, doesn't know how to produce, doesn't know how to teach. Then all of a sudden this guy comes out of nowhere and does this. You think that's by like osmosis?
Okay. We'll give Pat Meyer some credit.
I mean, the problem is when, if he would have crapped the bed, we would have crapped all over him. I mean, we should be a little bit fair here of saying, well, this guy is not as bad as of a offensive line coach as we might look, we may view him as, or view him as, or see him as. So, like I said, yeah, he had to be ready, and he's just, I mean, you're not ready because you're coming from Montana State. You're ready because of what you do in practice.
And I think it's that age-old question of, like, how much credit or blame do you give to coaching? Like, we blame the coaching for Broderick Jones not developing the way he should, but maybe more of that blame should go on Broderick Jones himself. Yeah. And then conversely, we give credit to Dylan Cook for looking really good when he gets an opportunity to step in. Maybe there is some more credit that could go to Pat Meyer and the offensive staff.
Yeah, just be fair, that's all. I mean, if they deserve criticism, you can criticize them, but it goes both ways sometimes.
I wanted to ask you about Ben Skoranek, because you wrote that story about him.
My hero. What did I say about 8 months ago?
Would you say you don't win games or you don't win championships without guys like Ben Skoranek?
There you go. Now all of a sudden everybody's jumping on my bandwagon, man. I mean, he's almost a lock for the Pro Bowl now. NFL keeps posting videos of him to collab with him. He's going to be a Pro Bowler now. There ain't no doubt.
Pro Bowl gunner.
Yeah.
Pro Bowl gunner.
It's not that. The guy is just, he's a unique guy. When he got roots from Vietnam.
Hold on. What are his Vietnam roots?
His dad was born and raised, I know he was born in, I don't know if he grew up born and raised in Connellsville, so.
Oh, I didn't know that. Before
moving to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Oh, wow. Well, that would go a long way towards explaining maybe having a screw loose or two.
He got some roots in Connellsville. I think he has a distant relative of former Heisman Trophy winner out of Connellsville, Johnny Lujack. So,
wow. Well,
I mean, very distant relative, but
I was going to say, no disrespect to our fans in Fayette County, but
I grew up very close to Vietnam.
The branches on the family trees don't spread out that far in Vietnam. Okay. I'm just saying, everybody knows everybody. You know what I mean?
Hey, I lived in the Tri-County area my whole childhood. The Tri-County was Washington County was across the river. You had Westmoreland County, where I was on the border of, and right across the border in Vietnam.
God's country.
Yeah, Fayette County is an interesting place to be. Interesting. It's a different type of peoples down there.
Yeah.
I like those people.
I didn't say the family tree didn't fork, Rick. I said there's not as many branches. Like, look, a lot of people that watch the show don't live in Western PA anymore, right? They're second generation Yinzers removed geographically from the area. Yeah. So they recognize the name Fayette County, but maybe they don't remember exactly what it was all about.
It touches West Virginia, so that's all you need to know.
Yes. Yes. Fayette County is Fayette County is the perfect transition between West Virginia and Pittsburgh. It's West Virginia light, I'll call it. Okay. And that's not an insult. I'm just saying. Different kind of people down there.
Once you get to the deep heart, I mean, there's a difference between where I grew up as part of Bell Vernon School District is in Fayette County. Then you go really deep into the county, and no offense to our Carmichaels and West Green's in West Green, but Carmichaels and Beth Center. Now, Beth Center might be in Washington County.
I think it is.
Union Towns. Laurel Highlands, Albert Gallatin. I don't even know if that's a school anymore.
I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah, it's if Ben Skowronek has genetic roots in Fayette County, it's all coming together.
But he goes to Northwestern and Notre Dame, so makes sense.
Smart dude, just a little kooky. Yeah, you got to be, like you wrote about, for him to run down the field as a gunner all the time.
You only knew half the stuff about that guy. Very interesting cat.
Well, it was a good story, and I wanted to bring it up since everybody's on the Benny Sko bandwagon.
Everybody loves the Benny Sko now. Next time I see, maybe I'll see him today. I'm gonna say you're gonna have to capitalize on this opportunity. Get down to Connellsville and get some kind of car deal or something.
Get a big old F-350 extended cab. You should come on the show, is what he should do. You should talk to him about that, huh? Get that done.
He's on
Kuntz. In there with your headset. Constantly. Impress some people.
He's on the Kuntz podcast constantly. Oh, I'm going to make fun of Kuntz today. He swung and missed on another one on Sunday. He come flying down. Bat out of hell, and like he was Superman and missed him by 10 feet. It was great.
It was like when I play Madden with my kid, and I'm one of the defenders, and I dive at a guy, and you just literally see a body flash across the screen, and then it's gone again. That's what Kuntz has attempted. Tackle, I guess we want to call it that, was on Monday night. Yeah. Just like Superman flying across the screen. Thanks to our good friends at Nail Studio 2. We appreciate them supporting the show. Still got time to get there in store out in Lakeview Square on 19 next to Juniper Grill out there in the South Hills, McMurray Peters Township area. Get a $100 gift certificate. Buy it in store right now. You're going to get an additional $20 gift certificate for a future service as well. Perfect time of year to get somebody the gift of beautiful nails. Maybe get your toes done too, like Mark does occasionally. Get out there to Nail Studio 2. Can always book online too, 24/7. They're open Mondays now as well. Nailstudio2.com. It's a Roman numeral. Nailstudioii.com. Or just give them a call, 724-941-4595. We appreciate them supporting the show.
Tell him TJ the DJ sent you.
Yeah.
And TJ, he might be DJing some place tonight that I know.
I'm going to see him tonight. Yeah. The big Pittsburgh celebrity Christmas karaoke down at Mike's Beer Bar. Are you going to come or are you going to?
I've heard through the grapevine that one Nicholas Harry Callis is going to debut a new rap song tonight live.
Waiting with bated breath.
Hey, Rick, Southwest Greens is coming back. You know, it is the winter out here.
What's Rick complaining about?
No, Southwest Greens.
Yeah, Southwest Greens is taking the winter off. But maybe Benny Sko could use some artificial turf in his backyard. Who knows?
Come on. Trust me. Benny Sko is not a big fan of turf. And put it this way, maybe the indoor facility turf is not his favorite. And we'll probably leave it at that.
All right. Leave it at that. Something funny happened during the Tomlin press conference yesterday I wanted to bring up.
Oh, man.
So, look, we both know Chris Carter. Know him pretty well. I like Chris. He's a good guy. He is.
What Tomlin say? You're trying too hard.
He said, well, hold on. I just want to play this for people. Some of you may have heard. Somebody brought it up in the chat earlier, too. Hold on. I want to give credit to whoever brought it up. Because here we go. It was N plus N87 on YouTube. Who was asking Tomlin all the scheme questions he was getting annoyed with? That is an evergreen question that could be asked every Tuesday after our friend Chris Carter asks a question like this one.
Part of the process to when you guys use more 11 personnel when you don't normally, or when you switched from using a lot of single high to double high safety looks earlier in the season?
You jump in sides of the ball there. One time you said 11, and then another time you said one high or two high.
Right. I was saying on either side of the ball, is that continuity help when it comes to trying to make those switches in season when you guys have tried to establish an identity?
Well, there's a lot of layers to that question. You're stressing me out there.
You're stressing me out. I love Chris. He's a wonderful human. He really is. But he, with these questions... And I would say this to his face, so I'm not speaking out of school here. Chris, with these scheme-related questions at the Tomlin press conference, has become the smart kid in your class who knows he's smarter than everybody else in the class and wants to prove to the teacher that he's the smartest kid in the class. That's what it is. He's talking 11 personnel. He's talking one high, two high, and it's Mike T just wants to get in there, answer some questions, and get out.
Trips right. Yes. Well, I believe Carter's dad was a coach at, I want to say, Alderdice. I'm not quite sure. So he used to.
No, he knows ball.
You know, he used to, I think, watch film with his dad growing up and stuff of that nature. So it's just probably ingrained in him. But when he said later, you're trying too hard. I don't know.
As Sraz said, he's trying to get on the staff. He's trying to win himself one of those get back coach roles.
Well,
one of those quality control roles.
Well, he puts it out there for everybody to see too. You pulled that from his Twitter page, so
yeah.
Content's king, right?
I guess, but credit to Chris because he keeps bringing those questions every single week, and Mike Tomlin keeps reacting and responding to them. In this case, he's like, you're doing too much.
He's going to get him on a bad day one day.
Yeah.
After a loss, after something, he's just going to snap. See, he doesn't snap on me. He just gives me, like, short answers. Like, one sentence answers, and I give him a look like I know what that's about. I mean, Ben used to do that. Ben used to dart people with one-word answers. And if he one word answered, he knows you. He was pissed at you for some reason. So you have to read between the lines on some of this stuff.
Well, I just wanted to give Chris credit for asking another expansive question. That,
what about a couple weeks ago when he said, "You know, y'all annoy me today."
Yes. Tomlin's. I mean, look, we've talked about it. He's got no F's left to give. Man, he doesn't. I mean, especially with the media, like he's just going to say whatever he wants to say so he can get out of there and maybe give you guys a soundbite or two and be on with his day. Go back to the dark room that he's hiding in watching film.
He is the king of speaking for 30 minutes and not saying anything. I know that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we're going to Tomlin. I'm going to do this. And 30 minutes later, you're like, there's nothing I can write.
Yeah. He said nothing. He said absolutely nothing. I guess that's his job too, not to give anything away.
Wow, that's his version of the job. You look around the league, and I remember somebody from a guy I know in Baltimore once told me like a couple of years ago, yeah, they invited us in to watch film with them about why they drafted people. I'm like, what?
Wow.
They did what?
That ain't never happening at 3400 South Water Street.
No, it's like the LA, when I used to work at the Athletic, they used to invite the person covering the team into like McVay's house and stuff. I'm like, what?
What if you got an invitation to Mike T's Christmas party?
I probably wouldn't go.
You wouldn't, because you don't leave the house. You didn't answer my question if you're coming to Celebrity Christmas Karaoke tonight or not.
First of all,
you're not. Just say no. I'm not coming.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know.
Just say no. Even though everybody on staff has invited me, I'm not going to come.
Listen. They pushed practice back today, so it doesn't.
When's that over?
They push it back an hour. So,
okay, when's it over?
I don't even know when the open locker room is, till 4 o'clock maybe.
Okay. So you finish that up, and then literally it's a 20-minute drive.
Yeah.
And the starts at 7 o'clock.
And the parking's just wonderful over there.
Oh, there's a garage right there. Quit your whining.
And I'd have to pay for it. You remember the cheapness of me?
Oh, my God. You get so pissy when people don't invite you to thanks for the invite.
Oh, you're just like posting pictures and shit on Instagram. Look at me. I'm like, oh, that's like a block away from me. I didn't get no invite.
I didn't post anything. I was tagged in a photo that somebody else posted. Just to be clear. And then you said, thanks for the invite. I said, would you have come out anyway? You said, no, you wouldn't have.
I didn't drive 40 minutes for a Cena, though. I was already up there for my doctor's appointment for my knee shot. So it was only 5 minutes up the road.
You just say it. You don't want to come out to things. You don't like people.
I don't. I mean,
just be honest. Just own it.
If I could be like secluded in the back somewhere. The problem is, we'll see.
Just come. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
You'll be there. No fun.
I'm
going to sing Run, Run, Rogers to the tune of Run, Run, Rudolph. You can come up on stage and just stand there and laugh at me.
I'm not going to. Well, I laugh at you all the time, so it doesn't really matter.
I know, but like you can laugh and point at me in front of other people, heighten my embarrassment. Come on, it's for a good cause.
Well, maybe only if you do that goofy line dance that you did about a month ago.
I'm not doing line dancing. My line dancing career started and ended on the same day. That's fine. You don't want to come. That's okay. Maybe we'll go down to Archie's sometime before the holidays.
I went to Archie's. So what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, because I had to literally pick you up from your house and drive you there.
While you're driving by, what the hell?
We should go back to Archie soon. Monday through Thursday, 80 Cent Wing Nights. That's and March. Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. Archie's Don on Carson. Great sandwiches, too. Burgers, flatbread, pizzas, all of it. Ice cold iron and IC light. Whatever you like to drink, it's down there at Archie's on Carson. Get on down there. Perfect place. Maybe meet up with some buddies. Get some wings for the holidays. Whatever you're doing, Archie's is a place to be. Maybe Sunday afternoon to watch the game if you're not headed to Detroit. We appreciate Arch supporting the show, though. All right, I wanted to get to this. It is not Steelers specific. But again, for those of you that don't live in the area anymore, maybe you're a generation or two removed from Western PA, okay? You still know how important football is, high school football, I should say, in Western PA. And Kalik Hudson, who went to McKeesport High School, went to Michigan, played a couple years for Washington, was on the roster in New Orleans and Cleveland, Tennessee as well. He's a free agent now. NFL career may be over. He could keep trying to pursue it if he wanted to. But he showed up to the McKeesport school board meeting last night because they're having open conversations about whether to post the head football coach's job, which currently belongs to Matt Miller. McKeesport went to the Whippiel 4A title game this year, didn't they? Mr. High School Football, do you know the answer to that?
I think they won it, didn't they?
Did they win the 4A title game?
They lost to Aliquippa, I think.
Lost to Aliquippa. Yeah. Here nor there. McKeesport's kind of bounced back in the last few years from the doldrums for they were in for a couple years. Anyway, point is this. Khalik Hudson is like, I'm willing to give up football so I can coach football. Listen to this.
The rest of my playing career for me is giving them a better chance at theirs, because that's how much I believe in this city. That's how much I believe in our youth. And that's how much I believe in what McKeesport can become when we pour into the next generation the way this city once poured into me. I'm ready. I'm ready to lead. I'm ready to build. I'm ready to pour everything I live, everything I've learned, everything I am back into this program, everything I am back into this program. I'm ready to be the head coach of McKeesport High School.
So this is, first of all, it's wild. He just walked into the school board meeting and gave this speech. And there are plenty of people defending the current coach, Matt Miller. I don't go real deep into high school football in Western PA, like the ins and outs of it. But I do know that I don't think there's – people talk about Texas and Florida and California and all the talent that comes from those places, kaboom. I still don't know if there are many places on earth, if any, where high school football means more to a community than it does in Western PA, specifically a place like McKeesport in the Mon Valley. You know, you drive through McKeesport. You posted the picture a couple weeks ago.
Well, let's put this in. I worked in McKeesport for so long, people still think that's where I went to high school and live at.
Right.
So I was there for a long time.
So you know McKeesport. And look, the city's not exactly on the rise. I don't think there is a city in the Mon Valley that's exactly on the rise. There's like 15 people living in Manessen now. You know, it's some people have stayed strong to their roots and stayed in these communities and tried to build them back up, but it's tough in the Mon Valley. Has been for 35 years now, 40 years. And I thought it was, I still thought it was cool that Khalik Hudson was like, no, I want to come back and give back to these kids. And that little clip I played was part of like a 6-minute speech he gave last night. Yeah.
I don't even know what's going on with the football program, head coach job open, but for him to come back and be that passionate just tells you about the kid he is. And if you know anything about him, we're looking about 10, 12 years ago, his father and his cousin were murdered and found obviously dead in a car in McKeesport. And he had to grow up like that. And that was a big, something that he held on to and motivated him throughout his football career, which was stellar at McKeesport. Obviously he went to Michigan. So for him to say what he said, to come back and want to help, it's not just coming from, hey, I'm a football player, I want to go get a job. He's lived it. He's been there. He's done that. So I just think it was a very interesting situation of a guy who's, 25, who still could probably play mm-hmm. football somewhere, to come in and give a passionate speech like that. I mean, I don't know what's going on school board-wise, whatever. But
well, it's probably typical Western PA politics. You know, we lost in the Whipple championship game again, and who knows what the relationship is like between certain members of the school board and the head coach and all that.
Sure there's a ton of stuff. If this coach is not doing this, this coach is doing this. It's every school board. It's not just
– right. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, yeah. Look, I'm not going to get into the ins and outs, like I said, of McKeesport football and all that. I just think it's more – a statement on how impactful football is in some of these communities. And I'm not just talking about the big ones like North Allegheny and Pine Richland and Peters and St. Clair and all that. I'm talking about particularly in places like McKeesport, mm-hmm. West Mifflin. You get down into Bell Vernon, parts of Bell Vernon, you know, where that is, if you've been to a Bell Vernon football game in the last, I don't know what, 5-10 years, on a Friday night, everybody is there. You know, we live in TJ now. I don't come from a place where this is the atmosphere in Baldwin, unfortunately. But like, TJ, Friday night, that is the game plan. That's what everybody does. You go to the football game, or your kids at least have to go to the football game. They want to be there. And so even in a community that's a little more well off, like TJ, high school football is what ties the community together. And in a place like McKeesport or any other place in the Mon Valley, or, you know, up in Aliquippa and Ambridge.
Clareton. You ever go to Clareton?
Clareton. Yeah. I can't believe I almost forgot to mention Clareton.
Former Duquesne. Yeah, he's not part, now part of West Mifflin. / West Mifflin, depends on where you live, I guess.
It's just, it's such a part of the community. And like Khalik Hudson was saying there, giving kids a chance to get up and get out of the community and go make something of themselves rather than just hanging on the street or loafing, as older Yinzers would say.
With people. The kid was at the wrestling match this weekend at Baldwin, and McKeesport was there. And it's the youth league, so it's not really run by the school. It's actually run by the former La Rosa's Boys and Girls Club down there. And Tom Maglico, he's the one that runs that. And he has a bunch of kids up there as well. And he tells me, to bring us back to like a little bit local, is a lot of Steelers come down there and, you know, help the guys out and give away stuff. So I think he told me Alex Highsmith was there a couple, like last year. TJ Watt was there a couple years ago. But there's a lot of those people, a lot of those guys dedicate their lives to youth athletics and athletics in general, just to help some kids out. And to be truthfully honest, the kid that from a McKeesport whipped my kid's ass.
He's new to wrestling, isn't he? Little kaboom.
Here's a funny thing about this. After he whipped his butt, Tommy Maglico comes over and starts trying to teach my kid, you know,
a couple moves.
Yeah. So
nice.
The opposing coach, right? The opposing guy. So
I've you got to start somewhere.
So it's a whole point. I mean, it's just not there. It's West Mifflin. It's a ton of different places around. I mean, I'm sure every place, a lot of places in the country is like that as well. So,
well, I was trying to highlight Western PA. I just.
Honestly, you look at a guy like Charlie Batch. How much does he give back to the Still Valley area with the best of the batch? It's just amazing what he does for those kids. He just built a brand new facility in, is it in Munhall or is it in? Right by Westfield. Right,
yeah, that's Munhall.
Huge facility where, you know, he does his foundation at too. So put a lot of money into the field there, right across the street, Westfield, where they have now better fields in Still Valley area than they do in Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, how's that working out? Anyway, speaking of helping out kids, thanks to Impact HVAC, you can message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH or give them a call 412-297-1852. Get your furnace checked up. I know it's not going to be as cold over the next few days as it was this past week, but get your furnace tuned up just in time for the dead of winter, and they'll do it at half the cost, $39.99 instead of $79.99 if you donate a new article of children's clothing or an unwrapped kid's toy to the Foster Love Project, who I want to say, I think I saw Pat Freiermuth was doing something with the other day as well. But Impact HVAC, you'll take that article of clothing or kid's toy. They'll cut the price of your furnace tune-up, checkup in half, and make sure they get it to the Foster Love Project. So we appreciate Impact HVAC supporting the show and supporting the community as well. All right. Two more things, and we're going to wrap this up. First, the Thursday night football pick. This is a big one. This is a big Thursday night football game, kaboom. Rams in Seattle against the Seahawks. Maybe no Devontae Adams for L.A.
Yep. It's probably going to go a long way in determining who wins this division, right?
And who's the one seed in the NFC. They're both –
what? Remember the last time they played, it was, a two-point game?
Mm-hmm. An ugly game, a lot of turnovers.
It was. I mean, I think if I recall, Seattle scored late to make it a two-point game. So
Darnold threw four picks, I think it was, in that first meeting. This one's in Seattle, though, I don't know. I don't know.
Is Puka even playing? Is he still Puka's
playing?
Up?
Yeah,
I know he was banged up from time to time, but Devontae Adams really hurts them. Oh man, what's the spread on this sucker?
You gonna make me look it up? I'm guessing it's
don't
probably
you know that you're the betting guy, for God's sakes.
I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna just guess that it's probably like a point and a half, maybe two. Let's see how close I am on that one. It is. A point and a half. I was dead on. Rams by a point and a half on the road in Seattle.
Here's the thing. Seattle, you talk about a must win for Seattle. Seattle has to win this game to have any chance, because if you look at schedule-wise, the Rams got the Falcons and the Cardinals to end the season, while the Seahawks got the Panthers and the Niners. So
this is also the difference, or could be the difference, between, like we said, being the one seed in the NFC being the five seed and going on the road.
Detroit had to do. I think it's going to be close. I think we're going to go Seattle. Home field advantage.
Okay. I'm going with the Rams. I'm sticking with the Rams, even if Adams doesn't play.
I just like what they're doing in Seattle. I mean, I don't know too many of their offseason moves that they've messed up. They've been pretty spot on. You talk about a coach that came out of nowhere as Mike McDonald. Did you really think that he was going to be a guy that was be able to be a 13-3, 14-3 coach?
No. Even after they beat the Steelers in week two.
You get rid of Geno and all that stuff. And
even after they won in week two in Pittsburgh, I still had my questions and my doubts, but their defense is just phenomenal. And that was actually the last time Rodgers threw multiple picks at home. It was all the way back in week two. So, I don't know.
Yeah, Darnold hasn't lit it up. I don't know if anybody has.
He's been up and down, up and down, up and down. All right, so you'll go Seahawks, I'll go Rams. One other thing before we get to the giveaway, and I need you to think of a good trivia question for this one. I'll give you a second to think about it, though. It was not a patented Mark Cabali midnight tweet, but it was a thought after Monday Night Raw when we saw Austin Theory reveal himself as the man in the black hoodie and the black mask. You're still not buying that he's the only black hoodied assailant.
No.
Why not?
Well, first of all, there was no acknowledgement whatsoever between Paul Heyman and Austin Theory. None. Don't you say, hey, man, you know, well, why is he running away? Why? I mean, that's number one. Second of all, I still don't believe the fact that the entire PLE of the Survivor Series is hinged on a number three member, potentially number four member of a faction.
So
I don't buy it. And we saw different body styles the past couple of weeks.
Right.
I'm thinking this is setting up something else. I mentioned this to LeBar a couple of days ago, whenever it happened. I'm thinking that Seth is creating his own little group.
Oh.
While you push it off until, you know, a week or two from now, all of a sudden, I don't know, give me a name. Carmelo Hayes shows up. It's like, we already know this guy. Why does he have a mask? Oh, my goodness, it's Carmelo Hayes now, you know. Then all of a sudden, he finds it. Then the one time, it's Seth, and then it all comes together.
And all the black hoodies are working together.
Are they all doing this because they want to push Austin Theory as a number three faction guy, or whatever it is, if Logan Paul leaves or not, whatever, with Heyman's guy? I don't buy it.
I will say this. I'm not as down on Austin Theory as you are. When he was getting a push, when he had the U.S. title. He
pulled his hat on him. He was like, who's that?
When he had the U.S. title a few years ago, they did not give him a good enough push. When he was working together with Grayson Waller, they didn't give him a good enough push. They'd be on during commercial breaks on Netflix. Like, I
understand that.
Both of those guys are a whole lot better than the opportunities they've been given. So I could see it just being Theory. But I like your point about no interaction with Heyman and what's his face? Logan Paul looked a little shocked. You know what I mean? So I like that idea of, like, there's a team coming together behind the scenes with Seth
and
Rollins.
You're able to take back the vision. And you push up, and you're, meanwhile, you're holding off the Seth Rollins return until he's 100%, although he seems to be everywhere right now. He's not hiding. He's on every freaking program I turn on to. He's on the Edelman podcast the other day. He's on Rich Eisen like 8 times a week.
And he's everywhere.
He was at the Bears game the other day. I just don't think first of all, he revealed himself, and the whole crowd was just like, it wasn't much of a pop.
I think it was more surprise. I don't know
It was more like, who the hell's that?
People know who Austin Theory is.
Oh, he got a goofy new haircut and looks like my beard when I try to grow.
Quit running down Austin Theory.
I just don't think that, unless there's some kind of great backstory, maybe they're pushing off. Maybe it's not Rollins. Maybe they're waiting until Jericho. I don't know.
Wow.
I just don't think this is the end of it. Okay. It's Austin Theory. Yay. He's part of the Vision, and he's Heyman's next guy. I just don't buy that.
All right. Fair enough. You want to do a giveaway before we get out of here?
Who won the hoodie? The person online. Did they reach out?
Yeah. I already shipped it out. I shipped it out yesterday.
You must go to that post office constantly.
I go to the UPS store in Pleasant Hills constantly. They know me by name. One of the guys that works there actually watches the show.
Tell him to give you a discount on shipping.
He does. not a big one. He just gives me the AAA discount. But it saves a little bit, because I'm pretty sure we're going to spend all our money this month on shipping these gifts out to people. But that's okay. It's a thank you to everybody who supports the show, supports the program. Thanks to Shop 412. We got another gift. You want to see what it is while you think of a good question to ask people?
I got to think of a question. Okay.
This is just a classic. It is an all-black crew neck sweatshirt with your classic 412 logo on it. Look at that. It's a beaut, Clark. Right. It's a beaut.
It's a beaut.
So there it is. Need some kind of trivia question for somebody out there in the chat. Preferably someone who hasn't won something already. Make it a good question.
I got to look at, first of all, I'm getting people like messaging me left and right telling me that your buddy Austin Limits is like looking for me to go on the show or something. They don't understand that I text them and tell them I'll be on at a certain time. What the hell's going on?
Jessica, why always live giveaways? Because we like to reward the people who join us live for the show. That's why. We'll do a couple more non-live ones before next week. Don't worry.
Oh, Jessica, give us a question. Now, I had a question. Hold on. I had one. Now I forget it because I was...
Good job by you.
Well, I was distracted by the... it's going to have to be Steelers-Lions related, right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I have a good one, but I don't know the answer to it. Hold on.
I got one. We'll just go straight.
You sure? Because I think
we're going to go the last time they played in Detroit, even though not the last time, but the last time, I should just say, last time the Steelers played in Detroit, who was playing in the World Series the same time as them, but I won't do that. It's stupid. Okay. But the last time they played in. Oh, man, this ain't it.
Can I just give my question?
No, I'm the question guy.
All right, then come up with a good one, because otherwise I got one. We'll just sit and wait. I get it, Jessica. We all work. And that's why we'll do a couple non-live giveaways, like I said, before Christmas. Don't worry, we got you.
Okay.
All right. You got people trying to answer the question before you even ask it.
The last time the Pittsburgh Steelers played the Detroit Lions was Mason Rudolph was the quarterback.
Yes.
How many attempts did Mason Rudolph have in this tie ball game?
I think I know the answer. I don't know why I think I know the answer, but I think I know. Somebody's going to just look it up.
There you go. Devon DeCork.
Devin. Wow. Devin Quaglietta. I hope I said that right.
Devin didn't win already, did he?
Is that the right answer?
Yeah, it's 50.
No, Devin hasn't won anything yet.
Well, and then Devin wins then. It is 50.
I thought it was in the mid-30s. Holy hell. Devin, message us on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it may be.
You could tell us if that's your last name or not. Quaglietta. It sounds like
congratulations to Devin. We'll maybe we'll do some giveaways over the weekend when we're not live, but we will do another live show on Friday when we'll prep you for the Lions game. We'll see if we can't find somebody from Detroit who's willing to ruin their day by coming on and talking to us for a couple minutes, or maybe just a Lions fan. Kaboom.
I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, there's not much line. I don't know too many Detroit people for some reason.
You'd be
surprised. I just want to call Justin Rose up. You remember him?
Oh, yeah. That's actually not a bad idea. We may do that. All right. So that's going to do it for today. We appreciate every single one of you.
You say that, Justine. But I think they're going on the road to, aren't they doing?
To the playoff.
Yeah. Which is that Friday?
Oklahoma?
Friday night game?
They're doing the Friday night game in Norman.
I thought so. That might be tough.
Well, we'll see. Either way, we'll preview Steelers-Lions on Friday. We'll have another giveaway during the show and one not during the show. Don't worry, Jessica.
How many 412 days of Christmas we have?
Three or four, I think. Holy I don't know. God.
You better hurry up, man. It's already December 17th.
Don't worry. We got you. We got it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks to everybody for supporting the show. And we appreciate every single one of you. We'll talk to you soon here on Cabalion Mac. See you. Bye.